The roads were bad.
Okay.
No, just getting tired.
Yeah.
That icy sidewalk.
It's not worth it.
All right. Like to call the November 12th, 2019 meeting to order. Request a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what was?
He said today is the anniversary of the 72 flood.
Yep.
Is it really?
Oh, it is?
That's what happened November.
And let it, could you unplug that heater? Just so it's not making noise if somebody talks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow.
We got our sandbags packed?
Not yet.
Wasn't Ed Fitzgerald just a couple of days ago too?
Ed Fitzgerald?
Was it today?
Was it today?
Coming up. No, it's in November. Okay, roll call, Joel.
Okay, Dave Bench.
Present.
Mark Sattler.
Present.
Bill Miller.
Present.
Roll call complete.
Okay, looking for approval for the October 22nd, 2019 meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bill Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, Joel, fiscal officer's report.
Deposits since last meeting. Totaling $30,133.72. It's deposits 178-2019 through 206-2019. And then payments since last meeting. Electronic 165-2019 through 170-2019. And then warrant numbers 18129 through 18180, totaling $58,143.18. And then as far as our fund status, we have $246,511.75 in our checking account and $591,827.58 in Star, Ohio.
I move to accept the financial report as read.
I can second that.
Roll call, Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried. Only other thing for me. I'll have packets for the different funds, and it'll be a much simpler process where you'll just take your appropriation accounts and your revenue accounts, and you'll just write on a slot for 2019 what you feel it should be. Just put a number down, and then we'll just put it in and kind of review it from there. I don't remember what I gave you this last year, but Excel got involved at the end. So it's just a lot easier if I just do it one time for the final. That's all I have.
Joel, I have one thing for you.
Yeah.
If you could. Could you, and I don't need this, you can bring us to the next meeting or email me. Could you run a report on what we've spent on True Green?
I got it.
I've talked total. For like, because of the we pay for it at the cemetery, the wreck in here, right?
I actually have that.
Oh, you have the whole thing?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
And I have that for tonight as part of my.
All right. Never mind, Joel.
I'm going to get a hold of Recreation Director.
I'm going to direct that to him. I'll get, we'll catch up with him then when we
looks like
get in
we're
there.
Good.
All right. Thank you, Joel.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Fire Department Chief.
Well, good evening, everyone. Obviously, winter is upon us, and we have our snowy roads and snowy conditions. Again, for our safety note, just make sure your footing, you have good footing, proper footwear, and if you need to shuffle, it's better to shuffle in a slightly crouched position so you've got a good contact with the ground and less chance of you falling and getting hurt. We take falls very seriously, especially with our older community. Head injuries are, you know, pretty prominent with mature adult community. So I also noticed as I was walking in here that we had some substantial icicles. So we do need to look ahead, look overhead, and when we have that, those kind of conditions too. So that's my safety message. I want to share with you, we were awarded a ODNR grant for which they pick up 50%. We picked up 50%. So as of today, the GPS handheld unit arrived. And as part of the pre-planning, we will go to certain areas, record locations, and start performance and mapping. And show the use of it. This is one of the newest models that are available. It's already seems to be pretty user friendly. We've only looked at it for the first 10 minutes, but it's for us in the fire service. We'll probably carry it on our rescue engine, which is our first fire truck out to a scene. When we're on scenes where we have to be concerned with wind direction and wind speed, this will provide that information to us. That's a concern, especially when we have a hazmat situation where we could be smoke could be going downwind, and if it's toxic, we would have to warn others to get out of it. But so I think it's a good piece of equipment. And this was Paul Jones who wrote this grant, and we were able to get it. And just this week, we wrote another grant to DNR, another 50-50 grant, and this is for the skid unit. We had applied for this before. We did not get it last year, but we're getting it in early this year. We'll see where that one goes. But that one, we're probably looking at closer to a $12,000 total, and so it'd be 50-50 on that. So we'll see where that goes, and I'll keep you informed.
Tony, what's a skid unit?
Skid unit is to transform a normal pickup truck to a brush unit. This is a 250-gallon tank with a 13-horse pump on it. The reason I went for the, or we're trying to go for the bigger pump, is because of our dike situation. Some of our dikes are very challenging for our larger fire trucks to get up and get in close. A small truck like this might be able to maneuver in a little bit closer and help us, but it's just working towards the future. The brush truck that we have is, you know, fortunately wasn't used a whole lot this year, but
God bless you.
You know, it's an 88, so it's seen its life, and that was donated to us by the city of Toledo. So trying to move forward and be prepared for those situations.
Is that a 2020 award, Tony? Do you know?
The GPS, that would be a 2020 award.
Okay.
Yeah. Want to publicly thank everyone to help us pass the levy. That's going to be extremely helpful for us. We had the opportunity for some of the firefighters to participate in Jerusalem's Halloween parade, and that was fun to participate with those with the kids and everything, and it gets us in front of everyone. As one of the trustees, you had asked me to check into, and I'm seeking bids currently right now from Great Lakes Billing and from Acumen. So I should have those proposals and I'll be able to present those next business or next trustees meeting, and then we'll be able to continue forward. Talking with both agencies, it'll really, part of the determining factor will be the percentage of, you know, what it's going to be. But the other part is being able to walk us through the steps. As a township, we have to apply for certain documents in order to be able to do this. So both of them assured me that they would guide us and coach us and do that and help us all the way so we could get that established. I did talk with the City of Oregon and the company that they're using. It was a company that I did look at years ago. They're not happy with that company at all. And so I'm not going to even pursue them for a bit. Some upcoming events. Josh Swanson, one of our firefighters. This guy's a thinker. This guy is a developer. He's constantly coming up with something. He's always looking at things to help the fire department, the community. So he has connected with the Lewis County services, and we are going to host a build a bike on December 1st, I believe. I contacted you.
Yeah, he never got Miller. Back with me officially, but I still have him in there. Yeah.
And we're just waiting for a bit more details, and then we'll put something out. We'll probably be requesting some assistance for assembling these bikes, and then taking them back to Lewis County. So we offered to pick them up. I believe we're going to, the county's purchasing them from, for instance, Myers, and then we would pick them up, bring them here, do the builds, and then deliver them back to wherever they want to do. So, you know, we should be able to accommodate that. It's something new we haven't done, but in the spirit of Christmas and giving, I think it's a wonderful thing, and I appreciate Josh looking into these different opportunities.
He sounded real excited about it. Yeah. He got me excited too.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know he talked to you.
Yeah, he contacted
each of us individually.
Yeah. Oh, to brief us. Yeah. So,
he's good about it.
Yeah.
Sorry,
very thorough. That's okay.
Elaborate so far into it. Just as an example, yesterday we were pretty busy with the weather conditions. We had 5 calls total. Most of them were minor injury accidents, and we're pleased about that. But one utility pole was taken out. I was able to get in contact with Frontier because that is not an Edison pole. It's a telephone. They came out today, looked at it, evaluated, and they're going to put it high on their priority list. They're not the most quickest company to respond, but the gentleman said, hey, I'm going to try and make this a priority. Because I shared with him, my biggest concern is if for any reason that pole continues to sag or drop, and drops those lines down, you know, when we're trying to pull our fire apparatus out, you know, we could snag one. Then we would never want anything like that. So today we were finishing up some CPR classes for our responders. They're required every 2 years to go through a recertification. Tomorrow we have an interesting, we have Columbia Gas coming in. There's a lady coming in from Columbus, and she has a 2-hour training session. If anyone would like to come along or visit, you're more than welcome to. It'll be an interesting, so she's talking about natural gas emergencies and safety. So that'll be tomorrow in our drill at 7 o'clock. Should be kind of interesting. I'm looking forward to this.
Tony.
Yes, sir.
Do we hit, does the fire department have a way, the tool to turn it off at the road? Just curious.
We are not really, if we turn valves, whether it be gas, utility, stuff like that, then we inherently grab some responsibility to it and or liability. So our first, we had a natural gas emergency a year ago over in Curtis, where a woman accidentally ran into one, and it was unresidential. And yes, we did shut off the valve that was available to us. If it's shutting off a valve at the road or something, that's generally the gas company's going to do that. But hopefully we'll get a little bit better education on this. You know, there was a few more residents on North Curtis Road that have gained natural gas too. So, you know, over a period of time, it's just going to continue to creep out here, and more locations will be picking it up. Other than that, things are going well.
I'll take it.
We're looking forward to our feather party. So far, we've had some very generous donations from our business partners and for our door prizes, and everything's in place. We've got our liquor license, we've got our insurance in place, and so it's all coming together. It'll just be a night of fun. Finally, one of my firefighters said that, according to the Farmer's Almanac, we're supposed to have a big snowstorm, and I hope the Farmer Almanac was wrong and we had our snowstorm now, and it'll be nice weather for the feather party. Last thing I'd like to present to you is, I'm not real consistent at it, but this is the most, this was just drawn up this week. These are a view of all the different runs with all the different activities. So it was something you were interested in. We're right on target for the amount of runs that we've had last year. We're probably going to make 400. And, you know, that's where we made it last year, and I think we'll make it this year. Not that we're looking to, it's just... It's just how things are.
What's the total now?
You can have the
doctor. Three three five is the total. Okay.
That's we're already up to 365 now.
365.
That was just when that report was pulled.
Tony, are you able to, going forward in the future,
yep.
Lay that into a table so that we could see that trending over time?
We can, yeah. But those are like totals of fires and that. The only problem I have with it is these are all reported fires. Not all of those are structure fires. We are at a real fortunate low on our fire loss in our community. You know, when you look at the fires that we've had, we're looking at the barn over on DeCant and the boat fire.
What's that, Joe? Well, the end of Corduroy? Not end of Corduroy. What was that?
Canal.
End of Canal?
That house.
Yeah. That was the year before.
Oh, that was the year.
Yeah. So, again, I think everything is working. Mainly, our community is working correctly. We're still trying to push out smoke detectors.
Sounds good.
I just wrote it down.
I do want to say a compliment. Thank you, Joel, for really pushing out the addresses. I checked in with Eric today.
It's a lot.
And more and more are coming in constantly.
Constantly.
So that is a huge help for us because it is so hard to find these addresses. A lot of people just put them on their mailboxes, and like when the snow hits them, they're covered. We can't see we can't see the numbers. The bigger numbers with the reflective really help.
They were in the calendar, but I don't think people look to the back because they're different colored paper, but I can see them coming in the mail, and they're that colored paper from the Metro Press that once a year would get most people. I mean, if you think about it, you do it one time, you have the mailbox, do it a couple times, a couple years in a row, you'd have about everybody.
That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, Chief, I just out of curiosity, I know sometimes we do it, did you do any staffing at all for the snow?
I did not, because I wasn't having any problem with our firefighters getting to the station.
Okay.
Yeah, it was minor delays, but it really wasn't anything. So it's really when, I don't want to do it unless we're really struggling at getting people to the station.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Chief. All right, Mike, you're up.
So programming wise, all basketball is going on now. Boys and girls are combined, so it's K starting at kindergarten all the way through the intramurals for the high school, so there's a lot of basketball. The Wynn gym is being used quite a bit, and I did tell them I'm there every morning and I would check it every morning for any problems. So hopefully there's nothing that happens this year like last year. So we'll be on top of that. There are two cameras installed in the gym now, so we should be good to go. On the fields, they're all ready for winter. All the bases are pulled and plugged. All the tree bags are put away in the building over here. The porta potty is supposed to be shut down. I called a couple weeks ago, so it should be shut down and it will stay out here. I'll check the strap to make sure it doesn't blow away. It'll stay out here for the winter and then reopen in the spring. I am going to try to get a couple bids to put additional stone on the diamonds and have them regraded. It needs to be regraded. So I'll work on that over as soon as I can. We did get the sports bill for the 2019 season. It is it's $500 more than last year. It's $12,500. Last year was $1,200. They did have a few price increases, and we've decided not to increase the price. It's like $5 here and $10 there. And I know that comes from the levy, and this will be the second time that we did not increase when they did increase. And usually it's like every 2 or 3 years. So in 2 or 3 years, we might have to look at that again. But as for now, I think we're good because $500 is not a whole lot of money. So I do have that, and I'll give that to Joel so that I can be taken care of. As far as projects goes, we're still kind of finalizing what we're planning. We have a very good idea what we want to do, and hopefully by the next meeting we'll have that done, and then I'll get some numbers to Joel so we can put that in the budget. Okay, on to the True Green. I did get an email from True Green for the 2020 season. So I don't know what type of question you have, but I have it all right here. It did go up this year, and I did call LandArt to have them come out and treat the whole thing that we already have treated. So if you remember last year, I think it was last year, we took off one of the cemetery and one of the Joe Bird Park and one here, I believe. We took off one treatment because it was making the grass grow so much. So I relayed that information to LandArt and told them what we did with the baseball fields. And if you remember, Dave, we had that whole blanket service up, and it was real cheap, and True Green honored that same price. Mm-hmm. So when I got the bill this time, so last year we paid, $5,024 for everything.
That's a cemetery.
The cemetery
here,
the fields, the offices, and Joe Burke Park.
Okay.
So this year, the proposed amount with the things that we took off is $56.19.89. So we're about $600.
And that's through True Green.
That's through True Green.
We cut them pretty hard a year or so ago.
We did. Yeah. We did. But in their proposal, they added all those things that we cut out.
Cut out.
But I just subtracted them.
Okay. So this $56.19 is net with those
yes,
out.
Yes, okay, with those thank out. You. So at their original bid was over $6,000. It was $6,300. And then that's when I was like, we need to do something else. So I did go through it. I cut all that out, and I did call True Green and LandArt, and they said they would bid it out and they would put something in my box. It's not there yet, but I'm looking for that to come shortly. I think we have to the end of December to lock in the rate, so we have a little time. So what question do you have?
Well, I sign a lot of checks for True Green, and they're small. You know, there's an $80 one here, there's a $121 yeah. here, but over the course of the year, this starts to add up, and that's where I was kind of curious of what we're spending a year on.
There is itemized, and I don't know why, and it just doesn't come all. That is a proposed amount for 2020.
Do we look at any others in the past? Besides LandArt
and along those lines, have we ever looked at any of any small businesses here inside the township?
We have looked at the Maumee Bay Turf. We got the three a couple years ago, and theirs was probably double.
Okay.
So True Green was the lowest, and they honored the lower bid that we had.
And we have one on Fremont, Nate.
Yes. So I just wanted to compare it with another company. Okay.
Is it, Dave, is this something, I mean, you know more about Froyo, is this something that Kevin can buy? He's got an AppleCare's license, doesn't he, that we could put on ourselves?
No, he doesn't have a license.
Oh, I thought they had license. I thought you and Eric had your license of Apple.
Well, Eric does, that's right.
Eric, okay, does.
I had Eric get it.
Okay.
He's got one.
I mean, because this is all a dry chemical, right? Most of it that they put on, it's like a pellet?
Some of it is.
There is some,
the
venom stuff's all
liquid. Oh, okay. And I know what they treat the stone with is a liquid as well.
Okay.
We probably got enough to do anyhow the way it is.
Yeah, I didn't know how hard it was to put down. I mean, I know they zip around in their little machines and they're in and out. And
how much do we pay for Riola Park? Is that really a necessity? It's really until just lately we ever.
It's $73.50 an application.
Is there is it five or six?
It's down to three.
Three.
Mm, okay. That's really not that much.
Does it need it? I don't cut the grass.
Well, it comes from the rec now, but I don't know. For that area, for the usage, it's there. We don't really have a Taj Mahal Park down there, just regular grass works, but that's up to you guys. I thought it would be more than that.
It's only a little over $200 to try to keep the weeds in check.
Like I said, I see a lot of checks, you know, that we sign. And it's just per application, and I know that after a course of a year,
I think if we get it into you should be able to pay it all at once, and then you pay for the year. And then you get a discount for that. But I think, I don't know why we didn't get the discount last year, because I asked about the discount, but the price was the same, I believe. Yeah. So he just
moved
it up. So that's a lot more clerical work on their end than just sending us one invoice and being done. So I will wait till I get the True Green, the Land Art, and hopefully I'll have that for you guys with next time. And the last thing I have is I just want to fill you guys in what's going on with the Christmas party. Everything's in place. We have the first meeting. Everything seems to be lined up. We're going to meet again on the 23rd, I think it is. And everything itemized, what we need to buy, the whole thing taken care of. And Joel, I know you're on the, and I'll give you a certain time frame here.
It's the 8th.
Now that I know what to do, because that was my first time.
We're on December 8th.
Sunday, December 8th.
Yep. And I got the 7th open for you guys, too, for all.
Yeah, 7th. We will take advantage of all that.
I know you and I had our wires crossed there one day. I'm glad we got that figured out early.
So we do have that going, and I'm very grateful for the volunteers that are helping. So it should be a good time. So what we are going to do is they're making up a flyer. One will go at Joe's, one will go at Tank's, one will go to Jerusalem Elementary, and then we'll put it on the marquee, send something to Kevin here like a week before, 2 weeks before, and they said they did not put it in the press the last few years. So I guess we'll just follow their lead.
Put it on Facebook, too.
One woman said something about that.
Okay.
And, well, there is that, what was it, the journal in the press? The little announcement.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We could.
And that's no cost.
It doesn't cost anything.
Yeah.
We could add it there, yeah.
Okay. So that's what's going on. We'll make it happen.
What time?
We haven't. Last year it was 3 to 4:30. I'm trying to extend it a little bit, so I'm kind of letting them dictate that. So as of now, it's 3 to 5, but we'll see what those volunteers are.
Well, that'll be enough time for Santa Claus to have everybody sit on his lap, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
How many?
Dave first.
How many? How
bring the call.
We have five.
That's good. Right,
that's
yeah.
Enough. Yeah. So we're good.
Good.
Perfect.
And I do have. This is the invoice for the Oregon. Yep. That's.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
That's it.
Thank you.
Okay. Zoning, you're up, Linda.
All right, my updates are in front of you. I only had one permit, and that's to upgrade the cell phone tower. I think I said the one in Kuchina. We're also going to do one here. And the county wants them to do.
Where would you do that?
Violations, I sent one out for those addresses on Westmore and Howard. Howard and Corduroy. Blighted structures, I know that Jensen got paid for the demo on Main Street. Joel, how about the letter to the auditor?
Do that. Yeah, you and I, just, you give it to me and then I send it out, right?
Yeah, except you had a copy, all you need to do is change it, but you want me to send it to you?
We can work on it after the meeting tonight.
All right. The Corduroy property there, that's Becerra's. He did call me and said that he's going to clean it up and fix his roof.
Wow.
I don't believe him, but I don't think he knows how bad it is.
That's the old pizza place?
Yep.
I was down there last night, and the light is on in there. I was impressed. I thought you were lying, but it's on.
So I've got his number, and we'll see where that goes. Blighted lots. So the house on Rialto, which is what? Faces Rubens? Between Rialto and North? Anyhow, the land bank is going to start foreclosure proceedings. They actually have three lots. I think we talked about this the last time, and usually the land bank will not foreclose if there is a structure. So here's where I am with that, though. But they want to know if the township is going to take care of cleaning it up and getting it back into useful purpose. So I need a commitment. I can tell them no tomorrow as far as taking that property. That's the property that has like three boats on it, a garage, and that house that has been sitting there vacant for quite a few years.
Oh, the one that's half done and everything, and the big boats.
It wasn't done correctly.
Yeah. Well, it's been that way for
light blue.
20. Yeah.
So, is it okay for them to go forward?
You mean we have to clean everything up?
And or get it sold. Either one. Usually they don't start foreclosure until everything's cleaned up.
I wouldn't feel comfortable committing to it without having an idea of what it's going to cost to clean it up first. Like you said, there's boats on there?
Yes, there's three boats.
There's three boats that we're going to have to get rid of. I mean, now we're not talking $2,500 house or $3,000 house to tear down. I mean, now we're talking boats and.
Are they fiberglass?
Yeah.
They are.
I mean, but the only way to get it cleaned up is if we do it, because there's back taxes.
Right.
$3,100 just on that home lot. It's $25 all together. $25,000.
Jeez.
So it's not going to get cleaned up unless.
Unless we do it. I've had a lot of complaints over the 10 years I've been around here on that lot.
I've had plenty of them, too.
Yeah.
Well,
we don't necessarily have to. We could commit to it, and we don't. There's nothing saying that has to be done within.
Right. There's no time.
Three months. I mean, you know what I mean? We got time that we could say, hey, this is something we're going to work on.
All right.
So I'll let the foreclosure go forward for them to turn it over to us. Okay.
Sounds good.
Question, Chief?
Just a question. Curious, because of the boats having their own titles and that, would that automatically come into the property of the township, or does that make a complication? I'm just curious. I wouldn't know how that works.
Hopefully the complication will be alleviated here soon when the Senate votes on that House bill.
For junk boats.
For junk boats.
Oh.
So we actually could. So it'd be the same process as
vehicles.
So that just hasn't been passed yet.
I wonder how they do it. I wonder if they, because they do it at the marina every few years. Like, you know, they'll put a notice in the Metro that they're going to, you know, these boats, last known owners.
Yeah.
And you have so long to come and claim it. And then, If not, they take ownership of them, and then they destroy them and bust them up in dumpsters.
From a general fund issue I have is, if we accept the responsibility and we don't know how much it's going to cost to clean it up, then we are stuck with the property.
It's ours unless somebody wants to buy it. That's a nice big chunk.
Yeah.
I'm not a decision maker, but like if the do we have to do it now, or can we wait and they proceed in a couple of months?
I think the idea is that we commit to it and we can do it at our on our schedule.
I know, but then we're taking ownership of the boats and the property, not knowing how much it's going to cost to deal with it.
Well, we wouldn't have to tear the house down right away or anything. We have to clean up around there. I know that the one boy dumped junk there. Is there still junk there?
I don't know that there's junk. And we didn't get it mowed this year because the tractor.
I just get worried about what our cost is going to be, because $2,500 tear down of a house will clean up a site will be $10,000.
That's my only fear of it, but again, we don't have to do it all at once.
We maybe do the thousand dollars
and we'll probably get rid of the boats.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
We'll get rid of the boats and then we work on a house or whatever. Maybe we can sell it with the house. I don't think the house is any good, though.
I remember there's three boats on the property. One's an old houseboat that's fell through the trailer and blocking that it's sitting on. And then there's
the camper, a truck camper, one that slides in the bed.
Okay. I just get worried about, how many projects you take on. Quick and easy ones like the one across from Bono was nice. It was immediate, boom, gone. Okay.
Looks nicer now.
Yeah. Looks nicer now.
We also have sold quite a few lots. So.
Yeah. I just get worried about how much we spend on that. Because one couple years ago, we did a lot. And then we looked at how much we spent, and I was like, wow, we did like three houses in 1 year.
Maybe we can sell that lot up there in Bono where the church was and make some money, and that'll help us tear the house down. Get some money from there.
Just try to put it in your minds, if you're going to commit to this, maybe this is your big zoning demolition
big
cleanup for the year.
That is a big one. First.
What, you mean try to sell it as is?
No, I'm saying
Bids for cleaning.
Yeah, could we get a bid, a couple bids, just...
get bids just to know what it is.
Because we could do this next month or at the next meeting, if you have the bids back, right? We could... Mm-hmm. I think I'd feel more comfortable if we knew what it was going to cost.
What the exposure is.
Yeah. I mean, that's just me personally, but...
It would be much better to know what the exposure is, but on the other hand, I don't think that should force us into a position of saying no, because it looks awful. Yeah. And the neighbors nearby are turning to us and saying, can't you do something about that? Yeah. So I think the answer's got to be yes, but the timing, we have to decide when the timing, and it probably would be helpful to know what the exposure is.
Yeah.
So at least we can figure out, okay, is this something that we can do in 1 year, or do we actually have to do this over 2 years?
Yeah.
Well, definitely, 2 years probably, yeah. Unless we get lucky and we sell some lots and we have some extra money.
Right.
So you want to know, yes or no, to tell the land bank. And what kind of a timeline is the land bank operating on?
They can operate on anything. It takes them sometimes up to a year. It would just be a matter of them starting foreclosure.
Okay.
So
we've got plenty of time now.
Sometimes a year and a half before it would.
Okay. So do we table this item for, a meeting or two out? Meanwhile, maybe get a couple of bids about what would it cost to try to clear that property? Does that make sense?
Could do that.
I would be curious to see what. I mean, I understand it's got to be done, but I'd also like to know what it's going to cost us.
Yeah. So before you tore down the house, I think I'd get a hold of Lucas County Buildings. Maybe they can look back in their file and maybe send an inspector out and say, what is the matter with the house? Maybe it's something that can still be fixed and those people didn't have the money to fix it. So it could still be a sellable lot for someone to bring the house within code.
Hmm.
then we don't have the cost of a couple thousand dollars getting rid of the structure on it up either.
Good point.
Last time I looked at it, it all still was sealed up. So that could save you money in the long run with that piece of property. If you got to tear that down, the garage down, plus strip everything, it's not worth near as much anymore. Now it's just a corner lot.
Okay.
Right, I'll check with the county. How about the Brining property? Are we going to try to clean that up? We had talked about it last time about getting a dumpster and putting it in ourselves. You know where they're dumping behind where we tore the house down last year.
And we don't own that property, or we do own that property?
We do not.
And there was talk about trying to burn some of it. Was that the last meeting?
Yeah, a little bit, but you'd have to go through it.
It just depends on whether you want to eliminate the brush. If you just want to eliminate the mattresses, box springs, kitchen cupboards, stuff like that, you're talking most probably a dumpster at the most. The brush, you're looking, weight brush packs in the truck. If you're going to bring it back to burn it, or if you're going to put it in dumpsters, you're most probably looking 3-4 loads coming out of there in brush. So if you just wanted to clean the garbage up, you'd have a dumpster.
A roll-off?
Yeah. Because all the cupboards and everything that are there would crush up and go down there. Obviously, your mattresses and box springs don't really crush down, but you'd have just a dumpster into it. So it's all in what the extent of cleaning up the property you want to do.
Well, it's another one that's got to be done. I mean, and I think that's a relatively cheap alternative. We could
just bring the brush here and burn it. And
One roll-off dumpster, if we can get in one roll-off. I mean, well, my only fear of this is that, hey, the township's cleaning it up, we're just going to keep dumping. And then you're going to have you're going to have this. It's going to reoccur. I mean, that's my only fear. I just think that's going to happen. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, if the...
Because it really sits there by where nobody's occupying houses, pretty much on that side, the East Avenue side of the road. So it's kind of easy at night to back in there and throw stuff off, and nobody's the wiser of it, so...
Chance we have to take, I guess.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised they're not dumping at the park there. Because it's really at Rialto Park there. I guess I'm good to do it once. I mean, I am
too. I think we should do it.
Agreed.
Can you?
What?
Order that, or?
Yeah, I could order a dumpster if that's what they want to do.
It'll be up to your time schedule when you can fit it in.
Okay. Court cases are still pending. The next one for Corduroy is December 2nd at 10. Land bank. I have 3 quit claim deeds for properties that we talked about already. So I need some John Hancock's. One Rialto and one on. These have already been paid for, so they'll go back to the attorney, and then he'll get them to the new owners. I did receive the deed from 566 Howard, and 566 Howard is actually right next to one that we already own. So now we have three in a row. There's the picture. We actually sold to Brian Hedeman 570. So they did put in an offer for the two that were closer to them for $700 each. The auditor says each one of those are worth $900. Those three lots could get sold.
As a single buildable lot?
Yeah. It's 34,000 square feet. I wrote it on there, didn't I?
So
it'd be 120 by 285 lot. So we could do that.
The two right here?
All three. Yeah, this is the one we sold last time. Yeah.
And you can combine them, Linda?
Yep, and actually I have the combined form if you want to sign it.
Sure.
So what do you think is a reasonable offering price for those three combined lots?
Well, it's a buildable lot then.
Right, exactly.
Just you. Yeah, I think just me.
On that one. Yep.
Did this one have brush on it then, or?
A little bit of tree growth.
Can't remember anymore.
It sure makes sense to try to move towards a buildable lot, and then the proceeds can help fund some of the other things that we just talked about.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
All right, so we can move that direction.
Okay. All right. You need this back?
I'll put it right here. Good, I'll put it right here.
You can make a pile.
Okay.
And then we'll still work on how we're going to offer things publicly. We had some proposals from Pat today. We have to decide soon between Mr. Belcover and Mrs. Pankrantz. Is it? No.
Rosencrantz.
Rosencrantz. Thank you. I always get her confused. All right, so I have two investigations then. Land use, if you look on the paperwork I gave you, we actually set a timeline up in the zoning meeting. Chapter 1 should be finished by the end of this year, and then we're going to start working on Chapter 2. And then do some citizen input and future land use. So that's the timeline we kind of set up to hold ourselves accountable to keep moving forward.
So does that mean is I'm sorry, did you say you're almost finished with Chapter 1?
Almost. We had a few things that people didn't finish and fill in, and we went and put some pictures in there. Mm-hmm. Also. So
very good.
We're close, but not done. When I went to put in bay to a workshop, where we talked about Great Lakes Clean Marina. And it's a way for the marinas to be certified. It is completely voluntary. But if you look inside your manila folders there, it explains what it is. It's a program done by Ohio State. So she's been going around the lake areas all along. She's been working mainly in Cleveland. But she just did tomorrow, Thursday, she's doing a Riverview, is it Riverview Yacht Club? Mm-hmm. She's doing a presentation there. We tentatively scheduled one for here since it's voluntary. She would like to do one here, and we could see if we could get Minky and Cooley and Anchor Point. Then I was thinking maybe Maumee Bay and Harborview.
Yeah.
So that would be, if the date's okay, tentatively it's December 10th, 24th here. And I believe that is a pantry day, but we can always come in here, and you're usually done by then anyhow.
It is. It's Tuesday, the pantry day, yeah.
Yeah.
You always use the fire station.
So I'm just going to pencil it in.
Pencil it in.
Is there, just get with me if they change it.
And I don't know if anybody has any direct contacts as far as phones and emails. how to directly contact people. I mean, I have an idea, but I don't have a definite. So if anybody wants to help me as far as reaching out to those owners of those facilities, I just, it sounds like a great program. It's completely free. And she just basically gives them some guidance as far as new things that have come out that marinas are required to do, gives them some access to resources and some tools for them to use to just say, hey, we're this type of marina, come give us a look.
I think it's a great idea.
So that's all I have. Any questions?
Thank you, Linda. Okay. All right, Kevin, you got 2 minutes because Linda took into your time.
Really, just two quick items. I want to thank the trustees for helping out Eric with the snow removal last night and today. Looked like everything went well. That I know of, nothing apparently broke that I was informed of. So everything went pretty good with that. I'd say 80% of our roads are snow and ice cleared. There's a few of them that's got some patches. They're all small secondary roads, pieces here and there, but nothing that causes a danger for the next day or so. And the other thing is we got the 3-point hitch weed eater in. Have not hooked it up and used it yet, but if the weather warms back up into the 40s or 50s and we clear the snow, we're gonna try it just to make sure there's no issues with it for spring. But that is out in the pole barn on the pallet if anybody wants to look at it. So, and that's all I have, unless you guys have something.
Yeah, Kevin, there's a meeting the 14th and at the Great Wolf Lodge about pavement technology. I thought maybe we'd go. You interested?
14th of November?
Yeah.
That's Thursday.
Dave just wants to go swimming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as nothing comes up with doctor's appointments and stuff unavailable, I don't think they got any.
It'll get them out of the house.
What time is that?
8:30 to 2:15. I'll talk to you later.
Anything else? Okay, moving along. Cemetery report. Anything on the cemetery?
Nothing to report.
We're holding.
Ellen, yeah,
to the
we're
fire.
Still,
though.
We're still looking on.
They gave until 12:31.
Done at the end of the year.
Oh, right. Okay. Hall rentals. I had two. I gave Joel since the last meeting. Dave, anything on roads?
Not really. No.
How did Kevin's? Did Eric say how that them roads plowed down in Bono and did it
with the new
chip seal?
Well, we didn't have an issue with any of the lids that were down there that we had issues with before. But really, to see how we're going to do on those roads, because I went through the Bunning Donovan area today. We got a lot of little rock that turned up on the bigger rock road like we normally do. I didn't really see that in Bono with the smaller rocks, but when we get closer to spring, we're going to evaluate them roads to see how did the smaller rock hold up versus the bigger rock and the color stay.
Okay. So
that'll be the real test. Wind scraping over it doesn't do too bad, but when we get night after night for weeks on end, that really roughs them up.
Okay. Old business. Sandbagger.
I might have made some headway this afternoon.
Oh, good.
I give up on the quick read in that salt place that nobody wanted to change your machinery, and I did check on those longer tubes. You know, you can buy it anywhere. You know, and of course you can go up here to Tractor Supply. They're like $5, so I figured even if you could get them, you know, down to wholesale, it'd probably be $4. You know, so those are pretty expensive. So I called up the Toledo alfalfa mill, and I just asked her if she knew anybody because they bag stuff, and she says she's interested.
Really?
So I took a bag up there. They'll check and see if they can make it work on their bagger, or you know they might be able to make it work. So she said she tried and she was kind of halfway interested. So we might be able to get some bags done.
Give them something to do over the winter. They're probably slow in the winter over there. Perfect. Okay. Brown Road Internal, I had left that on there, but I think I might have was supposed to remove that.
Well, you know, the only thing we got to do there yet, we still got to make the county make sure they put that flap gate in the one sewer.
At the end of Turnals there?
No, no, not at the end, but over a little ways.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Between Turnal and Sheehan where that...
Yeah.
Yeah, because he promised us they would do that. Brian did, yeah.
We can't.
Put a float with under
yep.
the catch base.
We got to make sure that that gets done.
Yep, you're right.
So maybe we should just leave it on there and put on that.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to leave it on there. I'm going to leave it on here.
Because it always it reminds you.
Yeah. Any more on the ditch petition?
Oh, nothing on the joint county one yet. Their county's got all get together. Yeah. But I think I'm going to turn the other one in either this week or the beginning of the next week and take it up there to Mr. Pinoski. Okay.
All right. Mark, I got dike update on here, but I've also got it down in the... Yeah, so you want to touch on any new business?
I got two different... an old business piece to touch on.
All right, go for it.
You know, we're continuing to work on our dike safety emergency action plan that continues to be, you know, the blanks get filled in. I guess one question I'd like to put out there, I know you're working on the ability to have some sandbags prepared and stored. Then the question becomes, okay... If we have them, do you folks have some points in mind where you'd like to stage some of those materials?
No, we got to keep them. We got to keep them.
Do I have
here.
To stay here?
Yeah, we got
to
be here locked
so
up.
So we won't
we'll
be staging.
Gone.
Okay.
No, I can't.
Okay, so it'll all be staged at Township Hall.
Yep.
Okay. Next, and I may need Chief's help with this, with respect to communications, would we need to deal with... you know, any incident command?
Yeah, we would manage it as a unified command.
Would the fire department manage that?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I talked with the county about that too as well. You know, they'll be happy to assist us and in anything that we would need if we, you know, if we're starting to affect large amounts of residents in our community.
Okay, all right. So that leads into my next question. What method would we be able to use to try to notify residents?
Again, we would do the reverse 911, which that's readily available to us, and then the we would do the...
I assume we'd use the Facebook?
Media,
yeah. Talk of the Township?
Send outs, you know, and then the radio and TV contacts, and the EMA will also help us with that.
Okay, so, and we have the media, we have the, you know, the Metro Press, the Toledo Blade, we have the TV stations, and then radio contact wasn't, that information wasn't clear to me.
Yeah.
Looked like it said WCWA. Is
right.
that right?
Yep.
Okay.
And I've got it on my paper. I just didn't bring that over for you, but I think I filled in all of the blanks that...
I did pop those in as much as I could. Okay. All right. Very good. We will continue to work on that. One last update. There's several addendums. One is, you know, the emergency equipment list and contacts. That's pretty much filled in. Then addendum two is the different priorities. I just wanted to point out that you know, the top priority was what we call Reach 6, which is Ward's Canal, from the intersection of Howard Road and Route 2 East. And then it turns and heads out towards the lake. That spur dike was completed about a week ago, and so that's completed. That's taken off the list. So anyway, we'll continue to work our way down the list of priorities. Okay. Any questions?
Yes, sir. The only thing I'd like to see is if we could. I think there can be some benefit on a tabletop exercise for the fire and the trustees and maintenance, and if we were to create the scenario, like maybe two to three different scenarios of pretty simplistic, meaning, let's take Bono, for instance. Because of the lake level that can come up and go over the top of Route 2, and that could come into the Bono area there, if we were to tabletop a scenario, what I would like to see, and we just got done doing tabletop at the school after shooter type situation, but I think there's a lot of things that can stem out of these things because of the contributions from the different groups as to what exactly what we would do. First would be the identification of it. We're getting notified. We're alerting the township resident. But then one positive aspect are we attempting. You know, I casually have spoken to you individually, and, you know, one attempt would be to maybe grab the grindings and start establishing a dike. You know, but that also involves the state, because we could be restricting a lane slightly or altering a lane. And that's where I'm going with this is, I think if we were to tabletop a scenario and then try and walk it through as if it were to occur, and then we inject all these different thoughts and ideas in there, I think that could be extremely helpful.
Tony,
it's just like a big think tank is what it is. Right.
Tony, that's what we do with Davis Bessie up there at 911. Same thing. Scenario.
Would you be calling on the Lucas County EMA to help you with that?
Yeah, I certainly would. Oh, yeah. They'd be more than willing to come out and assist.
They're very good.
But we would also may want to reach out to state ODOT and invite them into the conversation of the scenario. You know, again, on that view of it, when you look at Route 2 at any time, if it gets disabled, it used to be years ago, you would have to do a notification to Davis Bessie. I'm not saying we're to that level, but because Route 2 is a designated evacuation route, but still it's a consideration if Route 2 was flooded over and it's impassable, what are the alternate routes, where are people being diverted, where are we establishing, along with the county, where are we establishing barricades and with the state, you know, where are we diverting traffic? How are we diverting it out of our community so they're not coming through or attempting to go through? So it's just an idea. I think it's
I think it's a good idea.
A little bit further and try and put a small agenda together and then put the list of the different players that, you know, we think should be involved in it.
So do we want to put that on as an ongoing topic for a tabletop?
I think it's a continuation of the flood pre-planning. I think it just takes us to one more level.
It does. Okay.
Do you just want me to add that to there, then, Mark?
Yep, that'd be great.
Okay,
that's all I got.
Okay, all right, moving on. Charter communication. So I did finally get an answer about the internet and phone for Tim Tegmeyer. And I gave him his answer, and he wasn't real happy, but they were trying to get internet down to Brown and Yondota, and the closest pod is at Yondota and Route 2. And to get it down there, there's a shortfall of $9,500 that they have to make up, so they have to get it from the residents if they want it. So I gave all the information to Tim and said, it's up to you. If you can get them to everybody to bite, then they're willing to do it. But they don't have to supply the entire township. It's 60% is what they have to supply.
And you think they're hitting that?
And I think they're hitting that. Of course, I didn't realize you guys had it up on the dike there. So
yeah,
I would say
spectrum internet.
Yeah. So I figure they're
up on Lagoon.
Looking at where it's at in the township, I think they're hitting the 60% pretty easy. So I did get back from them. So 911 consolidation was the meeting.
The meeting on the 24th was held.
Yeah, that was when we were at.
Yep.
Three of us. Yep.
Right. We took a vote amongst all of the townships. Because the township representative was there, and he was basically asking, please, folks, let's see where this falls. The majority opinion was that that the townships would
this is other than Sylvania Township, all the other townships. The majority opinion was that they were opposed to the 911 consolidation. And again, I need to say, they're not opposed to the concept of the 911 consolidation. I think they're opposed with the way it's being executed and the financial burden on all of these small communities, which means the financial burden then there's nowhere else it can be shifted but to the residents. And that's unfortunate. So the vote for the townships would be a no. And I don't have a date when they're going to convene that committee of five.
He didn't know either.
I
pretty soon. It's within this month.
Not this month.
Okay.
Because Andy was trying to get some to try and find. Some legality. Yeah. There was something legal.
He was trying to find the technicality that he could use to delay it.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't think they've basically said, no, it's we're doing it. I mean, they're going to go with the vote. There's the technicality he was trying for. He couldn't say anything. Okay. So. Okay. ODOT. I did not reach back out to Mark Bressler regarding the tile on. Route 2, I was going to give him a couple weeks. And
you could have probably seen it here.
Yeah, you're right. The other day I went down there and it was low. I didn't stop across the street, but you're probably right. We could have.
I thought of that when I
went to church.
Yeah.
If you think about it and the water's down going by, somebody will snap a picture, call me, I'll run down and snap a picture. Okay. So we have it to show them. Kevin?
Deleted all 14 of them I had about 3 months ago.
All right. Well, if you guys are down there again, we'll try and catch that one. Real estate. That was the real estate agreement.
I'm real close. Okay. I got to talk to Kenny again. It's real close.
Okay. I had one more I added. I forgot to add afterwards, but did you guys see the proposed LED with the street lighting that I sent to you guys?
Yeah. I did see that.
Yeah.
So did you get any more answers to those questions?
I didn't. The more I read through this, the more confused I am.
Yeah.
Because it actually looks like going to an LED light is going to cost us more than what we're currently paying. Is that what you picked up from it, too?
I just wasn't sure. I
mean, yeah.
There's the amortization of the whole new
fixture.
Fixture, even though the energy is lower, but yeah.
Yeah, and I was trying to, the whole idea was when I originally called him, was what can we do to get a discounted rate on these lights? You know, is there something we can do, you know? And LED was what was brought up. I may reach back out to him.
Yeah, I think we probably need to
because he said he would. Questions. He said he would be more than happy to come to a meeting and explain everything to us, but.
That might not be a bad idea.
You know, if it's going to cost us more money, he's wasting his time. That's the way I look at it.
That's what Yaki's trying to figure out on the lights out here.
Yeah.
Use the same fixture and try and get a bulb to go in there. Because it's got to buy the fixture. Just
yeah. Right. And that's what they said. They're basically like, you know, we just put a new fixture up. But it didn't cut our monthly energy down. And that was the whole goal, was for us to save money there. So.
Yeah, but if it reduces our energy cost, but we have to pay much more for the amortization of the new fixture, that's the
piece. So I'll stay on that. I'll reach back out to him again, Matt. Okay, any other old business? You guys forget? No? Okay, moving on to new business. The OTA conference. What dates are those, Joel?
February something.
5th.
Late this year, isn't it?
Yeah,
5th of February starts, doesn't it? Or
first week of February.
It's not on my birthday, I know.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I don't have a calendar.
Okay.
You have to sign up individually online. But your hotels are rooms are made. You won't see me this year, which is fine. But I'm gonna go to my March conference for the
August. Oh, is Anna coming?
I don't think she wants to hang out with you either.
But we could be fun.
Yeah, she'll show you all the sights. We had some good meals and some nice long walks last year. Cold walks, you missed them. The hotel's a little closer.
Okay. Joel, I've got your appropriation of 2191 fund.
Yeah, so Tony and I had kind of we sat down and moved some monies around to get to year end where we appropriated. And knowing what we know as far as bills and such. But I just want to appropriate some additional money for hourly wages and drills, credits, runs, and everything else, right? It's just hard to explain. And then, of course, the additional money we would need for Medicare and OPERS associated with those wages. So obviously, it's the end of the year. We have fourth quarter. We're going to be paying. We appropriated at the beginning of the year $357,330 in total for the fire fund. We have we have a total of $482,000 for the fire fund. So roughly about $125,000 available to appropriate if we want to, that we didn't appropriate at the beginning of the year. So just looking at what we could spend, and that's really, I'm looking at just wages for the fourth quarter. I'd like to ask for an additional $40,000 to appropriate for the fire fund. Hopes we don't use all of that. I don't think we would, but just so that we are all good for the end of the year for wages and those associated accounts. Any thoughts?
It
has to be the board. You guys have to just say, yeah, it's no problem. What's happened in the past?
Do you need a motion?
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, what's happened in the past, just so you know, like, just to understand, this is the first year that a fund was assigned a set number.
Right.
And we asked you to stick to it as best as possible. Every other year prior to me, he all the money was appropriated.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't spend it, you just close that fund up and then started with the next year. So you had no real, like, I guess, true budget.
It wasn't really a budget, yeah.
Not at all. It was just your budget is don't spend all your money. You know, and I say, well, that's one way to look at it, but
mm-hmm.
again, you're not spending all your money here anyways. You're just, we didn't
but get... But it's just, the amount that was anticipated for expenditure,
yeah.
We ended up spending, we're on track to spend a little bit more than that.
Well, let's, and this is a guess, right? So the fire fund, sorry, Tony. We, the township for the fire fund, spent 88% of our total appropriation. So...
As of?
Now, today. This evening, after bills were paid, right?
So middle of November, okay.
You know, that's not too bad. We don't know how many calls you get, and
yeah.
You know that.
So we may still hit the budget, but nobody wants to be dealing with that around the 20th of December, saying, right. "Uh-oh, now what?"
Right. It's really hard to move money around like that at the last minute. It's easier just to put into those known accounts because we've already kind of moved some monies around. Into those accounts, knowing we're not going to spend any more in insurance and bonding because we're not, you know, or so things like that. So
we're not going to go out and buy anything. Spending,
you know, at this point, no, we've made all those purchases.
Okay,
so this is really just a just kind of a cushion.
I would say we're going to spend some of that money, but not $30,000 of it, not $35,000 of it. So I'd ask the board.
Okay. I'm assuming, one more comment. When we get to the end of the year, I'm assuming we're still going to look at original appropriation and actual expenditure. We still need to look at that without considering this additional reappropriation.
Well, you're going to see what you really spent in 2019.
Yeah.
But this is going to actually get...
But we want to compare it against what we started originally
with.
Began.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
for anticipated appropriation.
Right.
Yeah, and we figured this was gonna.
We had no idea.
Well, we knew it was gonna be tight.
Right. Yeah. And the reality is, we did really good. And I know Tony and his staff that helped with this did a really good job, but you know we costs go up, and I know that like this is a good first year, so. So
that's all I wanted to know. Oh, this was the first year that I have my own entire spreadsheet of every expenditure that was done. Well, 90% of all the expenditures that were done are now when we go in to build for next year. For instance, I'm going to take contracted services. Every perception of what can, hose testing, ladder testing, pump testing, all of those are given. Those all go into those contracted services. Now I have better factual numbers than I had prior before.
And I think this is
there was very little to no participation.
Prior to. This is, you've got some really good data now for going forward, and I would congratulate you because you've got this year we've seen some really good accountability. Every expenditure against your budget has to come through with your signature on it, so you know what it is and you know how much it is and you know where it's going. So I think that's a real good step.
And there's a good chance that next year we may have to do the same thing, but maybe we only got to reappropriate $20,000. And then, you know, the following year, we're right on. I mean, it's a learning. Right. I think it's a moving target. Right. You know, you can't control what breaks, when it breaks, and, you know, how many runs you have. I mean, that's, you know, something major goes down with an engine, you know, you're tens of thousands of dollars. So, so Joel.
So I need a motion to increase our appropriation by $40,000 from $357,300. To $397,300 for the
2191
fund.
Okay, I move to in. How do you want me to put that? Reappropriate.
Reappropriate. Or increase appropriations.
Increase appropriations. In the 2191 fund. $40,000. It was $357,300. Going to $397,300. That's my motion.
I'll second.
Roll call. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Settler.
Yes.
Roll call. Sorry, motion carried.
Okay, that all you got?
I need,
Okay. Thank you. Moving on. Weight limit imposed.
Okay, I talked with the Lucas County Chief Engineer a couple weeks back. And he said, oh, by the way, I want to let you folks know that they will be putting up signs imposing a reduction in the weight limit on all of the roads because of all the rain that we've had earlier this year. So they're going to put up they're basically passing a 40% reduction in the weight limit to try to go easier on the roads.
Is that just for the spring? In Ottawa County does it, then they lift it.
I think this was through the winter and spring because of all of the rain and the sogginess. So,
Ottawa County.
I don't think this is permanent. I think this is seasonal. Yeah.
Well, Mark brought that up. Did you come up with anything for Bono Road?
I haven't heard nothing back from Josh. Day after the last meeting, we talked, he was going to talk with the contractor about signing that repair contract and everything, and to see what their intentions were for their weights. Basically, if they're just going to use quads or something, it isn't going to be that bad, with the option of if it gets really wet that the tonnage will drop for the usage of the road. But it's like anything else, if you're not sitting there watching them, and the state really doesn't care because it's their project. They just want to get it done. So I have not heard anything back from Josh on what they were getting together with that contract and what weight. Because right now our weight is posted at 12 ton. Well, it's actually posted, I believe, at 10 ton. And the weight limit's actually 12 ton on the road. So somehow that got 2 ton knocked off of it through the years. I don't know. We haven't done anything with those signs.
12 ton don't bother me too much. It's when they get 16, 18 and on them quads.
But when you start getting to around 16 ton, it's just like any local delivery.
You can't stop them from making their delivery, even though they're overweight on the road, unless they exceed a bridge or something. So, but he was trying to work that out with the contractor. And I know Bill will probably be wanting to get started here pretty soon, so.
You better hit him up on it.
If we get a good freeze in, I wouldn't be worried about it. It'll balance out.
Yeah, it's supposed to be 50 in a week, though.
Yeah. But they could really screw that road up.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if they do, they have to replace it at that point. But.
Okay.
All right, that's all it right. for that one.
Lucas County Engineers, request for quote.
Right. So this had to do with there were some properties that were transferred from the township to the conservancy. And the areas and the deeds are not clear enough to indicate, to let us clearly delineate whether the conservancy is responsible for the ditch only or for the ditch and the dike. It's just not clear. So the way to evaluate that is to actually have that surveyed. So the Lucas County engineer is currently requesting a quote for the cost of that survey. So that's what that is all about. That's the only way to find out who those dikes belong to, because some of those dikes are in areas that are not at the top of our risk list, but they're on the risk list. And when we get to them, we need to know, do we need to go talk to the private property owners adjacent to those dikes, or do we need to be talking to the conservancy? And we don't know that answer right now.
So the county's not going to survey them, the way it sounds. They're going to get someone else to do it, and they're going to quote.
And I don't know if they're going to tell us what it might cost for them to survey it. I honestly don't know. But, but the first step is for them to tell us what the cost will be.
What they're doing is, because the estimated cost may exceed like $30,000, so what they're doing is like a force account to see what their manpower versus hiring an outside contractor.
Mm-hmm.
So there isn't an issue that we are dispensing tax dollars to put a business out of business, basically, because they could do it cheaper than we can. So they're doing a force accountability is what they're doing. And they very well, when it's all said and done, the county guys may survey it all, because they can still do it for equal or less price. So what the estimates are.
All right.
Okay. Number five, street lights out, Brown and Dyer.
Right. So I've heard from a number of residents. There's three. I added a third one today. So Brown and Dyer, Route 2 and DeCant, and then Route 2 and Elliston. Those three street lights are out. What is the process? How do we address those?
Route 2 and DeCant is repaired. That's active. That's working.
It's working again?
Yeah.
You know, I thought I saw it.
Yeah, no, it's working.
Okay. Well, there you go.
That one's fixed.
Okay, all right.
But Elliston is not.
So, I'm sorry, did you say Route 2 and DeCant?
Route 2 and DeCant.
Oh, I'm sorry. That okay, all right, that one's fixed. Okay, Route so Route 2 and Elliston is still
and
out.
And I thought they fixed the one at Brown Road, Brown and Dyer. I could have swore somebody posted on that talk after.
Oh, did they?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So, well, but let me ask the question. What is the process? Who is responsible for those repairs?
Toledo Edison. The fiscal officer's always been the one that called them in. But all we got to do is put the super top secret number out and post it. And whenever there's one or somebody calls in, I can call it. You guys can call it. It doesn't matter. If two of us call it, it doesn't matter, just as long as we get the number up so we can call them in. Because like last night, with the guys out plowing, that's typically when I would notice one of those lights are out. But I'd always assume, other than the Ingram Edition and the Bono Lighting District, the rest of them belong to the county. I didn't know they were our responsibility. But now that I know we're paying for them, when I see them out, I'm gonna call them to have them fix it if we're paying for it.
Yeah, right.
Before, unless it was a major intersection on Route 2, we never really messed with them.
Chief, you had something?
My recall was Toledo Edison, for instance, had two numbers. There was one number to report a residential outage, you know, if you had lost power at your home. And then there was another number to call for street lighting. So there was a separate number for that. And when I talked to some of our the Edison line crews that do the repairs, for instance, I'll use the example of Decanter Route 2. For the guys that are on outage work and stuff like that, so if they don't have any storm damage or anything, they'll pick up those work tickets and repair those tickets and do those repairs. That's how it was explained to me, is how they would do those repairs.
Well, let's get the number and we'll put it on the thing there.
Is that something you can provide us with, Kevin?
The top secret number?
I called two different people today with lighting, and nobody called me back to try and find out a number.
Oh, for the Edison?
Yeah, for the Edison. I called two different people in the Edison. Nobody's called me back.
I do have another number that is a little bit more direct. I can share with you.
It's not top secret.
That one might be able to help you.
Good. Okay.
It's one that I can utilize as a fire chief, and you know, certainly you should be able to as a trustee.
Is that a direct link over to the shop?
It's not to their shop. No. It still has to go through their dispatch, but it allows me to connect more for the immediacy of the emergency. And then today, for instance, I had getting hold of Frontier. I had reached out through our dispatcher to contact them. He provided the number back to me, which was totally an incorrect number. I was able to get the correct number for Frontier, and so I talked to them and explained again my position and title, and they respectfully came out immediately and checked it. And,
good. Okay.
Creating it. So sometimes getting the right number for the right.
Okay.
That's
so,
the hard part.
So we'll wait to hear back from you, and then you're
I'll
saying
share
that,
David on the
okay.
Toledo Edison line.
And that number is should only be used by the fire chief or the trustees. It should not be shared.
As a township trustee, you certainly can call that number. And I'm not saying he's going to, that number when you get to that person is going to solve your problem, but he certainly should be able to get you to the right.
Lead the right, yeah.
You know, what I needed was for the Edison, for instance, if we had a vehicle involved and we had our live lines on the vehicle, you know, I need an immediate response or a disconnect. So that's what we're looking, that's what I was trying to achieve. So that's how I got that number.
Okay, very good. Thanks.
All right, number six, T-McCog annual membership.
And Joel, you indicated that you don't need you don't need a broader approval.
Yeah, not for that amount.
Okay,
all
right, very good. That's all taken care of.
And then the dike update. Mark's all about these dike. The dike update, thank you statement.
So, yeah, I mentioned earlier that in Reach 6, which is just east of the Route 2 Howard Road intersection, that spur dike, they reinforced about the first 100 feet of the legacy dike, and then they've got a spur dike that goes north and connects to one of the new retention dikes inside that holds back the marshland. That basically shores up Reach 6. And I've got a couple of photos here. What I thought it would be nice to do is to reach out to the Metro Parks Toledo, tell them that how much we appreciate this. They did that all at their own expense. There was no township expense at all. And then I also thought that we might then, put it out on the webpage, and then maybe push it out via social media, basically as a kind of as an open letter from the township trustees thanking, recognizing the Metro Parks Toledo for erecting that spur dike to protect the township residents.
And in a timely fashion.
Yes.
And
actually,
fashion.
We were hoping it would be done by the end of November, and they finished it a week ago. And it's all seeded. It's just,
We never dreamt would ever happen.
No, it's as good as we could have hoped. Yeah.
You know, and the way they reinforced that, I was telling Mark today, the way they reinforced that, that's going to last another 50, 75 years on the inside there.
Oh, yeah.
That short section there. That would be their cheapest, easiest fix to go along that dike and just reinforce that entire dike. But
that's also nice that they used a local company to do the work.
Yep.
So if everybody's okay with that, I'll go ahead and move that forward.
I think we should go to the meeting, too.
Agreed.
Next meeting.
I think they wanted us to go to the last one, but...
Yeah, we couldn't.
We couldn't go.
We both had conflicts, yeah. So the next Metro Park board meeting, actually, I guess I don't have a date. I'll have to go out to the web. It's probably sometime in December. They only put them out one at a time. And I think they're every other month, so...
What's every other month?
I think so.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, we'll take a look.
Okay.
Any other old business?
I do have one other item I want to mention. At the last meeting, there were a couple of concerns voiced about coyotes, and there's also been a fair amount of concern on social media over the past couple of weeks with respect to coyotes being sighted.
I saw one on a fence. Did you see that picture?
Yeah, I did. So I talked with Justin Wolt, who is one of the officers at what's the next part, the park down here where you told me Iowa Wildlife Preserve. So I talked with him, and he's a resident of Oregon. He says, I saw that exact same photo. He says, I know exactly what you're talking about. He said, he pointed me in the direction of the ODNR. I went there, and what I found supported what he had to say about coyotes. So I'll put it out here, and I thought I'd also put it out on the website and then push it out on social media. So coyotes are present in all 88 counties of Ohio. They do say that, hey, if you see a coyote on your property, first thing you want to do is remove any attractants to discourage them from returning.
Oh yeah,
which is your garbage. Secure the can lids or store your cans in the garage. Don't leave any pet food out overnight. Clean up any food morsels after you use your grill. And never, ever, ever put food out or feed coyotes directly. If you've got small pets, keep them inside. Or if you take them outside, make sure they're on a really short leash. It does say that coyotes may be curious and they may stop and watch you. If that happens, they can be discouraged by noise or throw rocks in their direction to get them to move on. Now, if that is not effective, you can contact trappers or hunters. They are classified as small game fur bearers, and they are always in season. All you need is a small game hunting license to go after your coyote.
Did they tell you the ODNR brought them in here in the 80s? They weren't here before.
Well, but everything I found says that there you can find them in every county.
Maybe so, but they brought them in there. They even had in the blade.
Yeah, they had them pretty much wiped out, and then they brought them back.
They brought them back. Yeah, there was nothing in there. Just like when I was a kid, there were no coyotes.
Now they brought beavers in. Yeah. To plug up Dave's cricks.
Yeah. So anyway, so I thought I'd put some of this information out there. There's a coyote in your backyard. What do you do? And then how do you recognize a coyote and what
12 gauge?
What should you expect? So I'll put that out on the website and then push it out on social media as well. But his point, the officer's point was, people are very nervous when they see a coyote, and a lot of what is probably being talked about on social media is not realistic with respect to coyote behavior. They're a lot more afraid of us than we are of them. They're going to stay clear. We might see them once in a while, but the risk of coyotes attacking small children, adults, he said that's a legend. That's an urban legend.
But Mark, the only thing is when you're in a pack is when you're dangerous. Mm-hmm. Two or three of them. Then they are dangerous.
Okay.
Anything else?
That's all I have.
Any public participation tonight? Seeing none? Looking for a motion to adjourn.
So move. Or second it, or whatever.
Roll call. Bill Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned. 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 Meeting adjourned.